Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil opposes Jesus, opposes the Word of God, and opposes the genuine Church of God always, and seeks our destruction. Jesus has come into the world to destroy the works of the devil, to bring in the kingdom of grace and also the hope of the kingdom of glory. He has come to set sinners free from the bondage of sin. It says in our text here that Jesus cast a demon out of someone, and the demon had so enslaved this person that the person was rendered unable to speak because of the demon's control over this person's body. And Jesus, with a word, cast the devil out of this person, and the result immediately was this person was able to speak freely. Now this caused the people who saw it to be in wonderment. But, you know, there's always those people, you know. They got nothing good to say about anything. Particularly not the Holy Church of God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Nothing good to say. And so, while all the people are in wonderment and astonished, there's that group of people over there. That guy, you know, it's probably the same guy who puts those one-star ratings on the Amazon reviews. You know, there's always that one guy. Everybody's four stars, and there's that one guy. It took 22 days for this to come in the postal service. Right? That's not Amazon's fault. That's the post office. Anyway, that guy. Well, here we got that guy. He casts out devils through Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Yeah, he's impressive, but he gets his power to cast out devils from the devil himself. And everybody's like, hmm. Right? Because that's what people often do when they hear outrageous garbage. Instead of going, go and sit down and shut up, they say, oh, a good thing. Right? And then you got the people, Jesus has just shown them a sign from heaven. He's just done a magnificent miracle. He has commanded the devil to depart from someone, and the devil was forced by the will of Jesus to depart. And they're like, show us a sign from heaven. And all the other, well, yeah, that would be good, right? Shut up, right? So here we have Jesus doing this magnificent thing. And then we have the people who are under the influence of satanic doctrine and life. They have nothing good to say about it. And so they blame it on his connection to Satan. He's in league with the devil, and that's why he can cast out demons. Oh, he cast out demons, but can he show us a sign from heaven? Beware. Beware. When you harden your heart against the gracious work of God in Christ. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Show us a sign from heaven. So what does Jesus do? He says, you guys don't know what you're talking about. As a matter of fact, your opposition to me is self-contradictory. He says, every kingdom divided against itself and every house divided against itself falls. That's a given, right? A kingdom divided against a kingdom fails. If Satan is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? So he tells these people, your opposition to me is irrational. And then he says, and oh, by the way, if I'm doing this by the devil, by whom do your followers cast out devils? So this inconsistency there. They're perfectly willing to grant that these people over here, when they cast out devils, do it from God's power. But they're not willing to grant the same thing to Jesus, because Satan has planted the seed of unbelief and wickedness in their hearts. They've hardened their hearts, and they cannot see the work of God present in the person of Jesus, even though it's plain to see. So Jesus tells them, listen, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Listen, you can think whatever you want, you know, but if I am doing this by the power of God, the finger of God, then you've got to reckon with something, and that is the kingdom of God is present in me and in my work and in my office and in what I do. And whoever comes to me receives the blessings of that kingdom. And what is the chief blessing of the kingdom of God? Now listen to this. How did the devil bring Adam and Eve under his tyranny? By tempting them to sin. Right? Adam and Eve were tempted into sin. And when they rebelled against God and followed the temptation of the devil, they fell into sin, became guilty before God, and thus they became under the tyranny of the devil. The devil used their sin, which he tempted them into, he used it against them to hold them under his control. God made a promise to Adam and Eve. He said that one day the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent on your behalf. And lo and behold, Jesus came into the world as the fulfillment, the seed of the woman who comes to crush the head of the serpent. Now this happens in two ways. All right? Listen. First off, Jesus obeys the law of God perfectly in our stead. He keeps the law that we have broken. Then he willingly suffers and dies upon the cross as the once for all sacrifice for sin. And thus, Jesus, once and for all, atones for sin and breaks the chain that Satan has upon every human being. Now, some people, through their unbelief and their hardness of hearts, they keep that chain unbroken. But for everyone who comes to the Lord in faith, every blood-washed, baptized child of God, the chain is broken by means of the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus died on the cross, he defeated Satan's power to hold you under his tyranny through your sin and your guilt. All right? You have sinned, and in your sin you are guilty before God and liable to judgment. And the devil uses that to keep you in his control. But Jesus has paid the full price for your redemption. He has dealt with your sins once and for all. And through faith in Jesus, the chain is broken. And you are free from your sins. You are forgiven. God no longer holds your sins against you. That's why Martin Luther, when the devil would tempt him and say, oh, you know, you've been quite a saint this week, and he would list Martin Luther's sins during the week, and Luther would laugh and say, I got a list here that has some things you haven't mentioned. Right? What was Luther saying by this story? He was telling us that because Christ has paid the price, we are free from sin, totally forgiven, and in the eyes of God are the holy saints of the Lord. destined for eternal salvation in the kingdom of glory. Right? So Jesus here says, if I with the power of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom where forgiveness of sins reigns. The kingdom where God's grace and the Holy Ghost reign. The kingdom of Jesus Christ, the King of salvation. And therefore, you have an opportunity here to come and receive redemption. Jesus goes on. He says, listen. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. That's the devil. The devil is he's a strong man. He's like the head of one of those drug cartels down in Mexico. You know, lives on an estate surrounded by armed guards. You know, and he's always up to no good. But he's secure because he's got all the latest technology and he's got all that stuff. And his goods are secure. Right? That's the devil. But Jesus goes on and he says, but when somebody stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor and he divides his spoils. You see that? Jesus is saying, that would be me. All right? I am stronger than the devil. And I have come into the world to take away his armor in which he trusted and to liberate those who are held in bondage under his tyranny. And I do it by keeping the law on behalf of sinners and by giving my life a ransom for the sins of the world. Now the devil's power is broken. It is broken. Now on the last day, when God sends Jesus back to judge the quick and the dead, Satan, the Antichrist, and all those who kept persisting in their unbelief will without doubt be cast eternally into the lake of fire. But until then, every believing Christian is free. All right? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth shall make you free. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. All right. So then Jesus says this, because you know what we want to do, especially we modern people, we like to sit on the fence. We like to say that there's some kind of neutral ground where, you know, I don't want to be anti-people, but I don't want to necessarily be all too religious. So there's got to be some kind of place where I can kind of sit around until I make up my mind. Jesus says this, listen, he that is not with me is against me. And he that does not gather with me scatters. There's no neutral ground. The King of salvation has come. You are offered, and to you is delivered the grace, forgiveness, and life of God. Do not make the terrible mistake of spurning it. Then Jesus goes on and he says, when an unclean spirit, a demon, goes out of a man, the demon wanders around looking for a new home, doesn't find it, so he says, let me go check out that place that I used to live. He comes back and he sees that there's no faith, no Holy Spirit, no grace of God there. And he goes, well! And the devil says, let me go get some of my friends. And he gets seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they all come and they take up residence in that person. And Jesus said, the last state of that man is worse than the first. Here's the way it goes. If you persist in impenitence, if you persist in unbelief, you go from bad to worse to hell. From bad to worse to hell. Break that chain. Rejoice in the power of Jesus over the devil. You are free from the devil's tyranny because your sins are forgiven you. And every time the devil brings one of your sins up in front of you, you can look at him and say, forgiven. And he goes like Snidely Whiplash, curses. Right? And so Jesus says all these things, and there's this one lady. She gets it, and she is enjoying herself, right? And so she's got to say something. So she says a real nice thing. She says, blessed is the womb that bore you, and blessed are the breasts that you have sucked. A little graphic for our tastes, but she is saying something really nice. Now, Jesus does not, he doesn't come down on her. He doesn't say, no, 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 madam. He says, yea, rather. He takes her compliment, which is well meant and springs from faith, and he kind of redirects it into a better situation. You know, sometimes we, well-meaningly, we say or do something good, but it could have been a little better. It could have been, you know. And so what Jesus does is he directs her more precisely. And he says, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And that really sums the whole thing up. It is the word of God that tells us of Jesus. We would know nothing about Jesus if it were not for the word of God. Both the Old Testament, which promised him, and the New Testament, which brings him. All right. Blessed are they that hear it and keep it. That is those who have faith in the word of God, who cherish the word of God, who learn the word of God, and who preserve the word of God securely in their hearts. Because the word of God is the word of Jesus. And the word of Jesus is the gospel word that sets us free. And when we have Jesus and his gracious work, we are free in him from the tyranny of the devil. And on the last day, when we are enjoying the first blessings of the glorious kingdom to come, the devil and all who obeyed him and insisted on remaining under his tyranny will have their place in the lake of fire which burns forever and ever. So, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen.